Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this Sunday, May 25th, 2025. It's really good to be in the studio, and we have had some really nice weather. It's kind of been cooler. It was a little chilly here during the week. It's nice to be here and to have the freedom, Ed, to open God's Word. And, you know, we try to come together a couple of times a week here at Prophecies of Hope. Tell us a little bit about what we do.
Well, we're just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We have services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is available via Zoom if you're interested in joining us for a Bible study. It's actually quite a bit of prayer time as well as Bible study following the prayer time. Then on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week, we come and worship God. We have a Bible study at 9:30, which is available via Zoom or live stream. And then we have our church service, our worship hour, at 11, which is available via live stream. You know, we also have other ministries going on. People have personal ministries, much to do with YouTube. People have personal Bible studies they have with other people. And so there's quite a bit of ministry going on during the week.
There is. And, you know, we want to encourage you folks to open your Bible on a daily basis. Try to at least read a couple of verses. Sometimes you can just start in the Gospels, maybe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or, you know, some people make it a habit to read Proverbs. They might start in Proverbs 1 and just read a chapter a day. And they'll do that for a month. And there's a lot of different ways that you can read. Some Bibles have a Bible reading program in the front or the back.
Yeah, I would suggest that if you can, set aside a specific time every day to open God's Word, read a few verses, think about what it says, ask yourself questions. Well, what does he mean by saying this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I find consistency, getting in the habit of studying God's Word, will allow you to be more successful at it, whether it's in the morning, in the evening, noontime, whenever, whatever time works out in your schedule where you can do it on a consistent basis.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be beneficial.
It would be. And, you know, if you would have Bible questions also as you go through those things, send us an email, and if we can help, we will try. We don't have all of the answers for sure. But sometimes through our studies, we've come across things, and we might know some things that will answer your questions. How somebody reach you, Ed?
Oh, you can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com, or you can send a general email to office at prophecyhope.com. Also, on the website, which is prophecyhope.com, you can find hundreds of sermons, and you can type in different topics, and you can find, like, if you wanted to know something about the Sabbath, and you say, well, why do you guys meet on the Sabbath? Type in the word Sabbath, and a bunch of sermons will come up, and you'll be able to find out if you want to know more about the Ten Commandments or pretty much any topic. What happens when we die, hellfire, what we're going to talk about today, the book of Revelation. You know, we've been talking about the 1,000 years.
Right.
So also, if you need a copy of the Bible, again, contact us, and we will try to get you a Bible no matter where you are. If it's possible to get one to you, we will try to do that. We also, you know, we're really grateful that to be a part of this New Visions Radio platform, because it's not a ministry platform.
No.
It's a music platform for independent music, but Ray Powers has given us a spot here, and he allows us to be here each week. And if we can't be here, he makes sure we get on the air one way or another.
Yeah, he tolerates us.
In some ways, I think he does. You know, I love him to death. He is quite the character, as most of you who probably listen to him on this station know. And I'm looking forward to spending a little time with him. I hope to go up to see him this summer and just spend a day with him. But he actually came here. It's been, what, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He came with his wife and his daughter and spent the whole day with us. It was such a good time. We sang together. And I gotta share this. For those of you who don't know Ray, he has perfect pitch, And when he told me that, I looked at him and I said, really? Let me hear an A. And he hummed an A, absolutely perfect. I went and got my guitar just and hit the A string. I was so surprised. The guy has perfect pitch, and that's a gift. That's truly a gift.
You know, they were singing downstairs in the fellowship hall with us, and so I asked him, you know, given enough computer power and given enough software, do you think you could make us sound good? And he goes, no.
No way. No, even with all the AI that we have today, he can't make us sound good. That's so funny. But, well, you know what? It's time to get this study started. And Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to open your word, the Bible, that we can study the things that it talks about in the book of Revelation. Father, we ask for wisdom and knowledge as we understand these things and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've been in Revelation chapter 20.
Yeah.
And last week we ended up kind of going back to Matthew chapter 24 and looking at some of the things that are in correlation to Revelation 20. And last week when we ended up talking about the gospel because we wanted people to know and understand that there is hope.
Yes.
And that's really what this is all about, that God gives us a way to be able to be in his kingdom.
Right.
And it's, you know, we talk a lot about, well, Jesus died and he died for me, but Jesus lives for me.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what we talked about. And friends, you'll hear us talk about that often because that's a part of the gospel that's often overlooked.
Yes.
And so that's where we ended last week. And I thought it might be good just to do a brief review of just some of the things that we've discussed in Revelation 20. Just, it's hard to do a quick overview,
right,
isn't it?
I can do a quick one.
Would you please?
Three sentences, okay? Verses 1 through 6 of Revelation 20 is the 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 7 through 10 is the defeat of Satan, and 11 through 15 is the judgment for the great white throne. Those are the headings in my Bible.
Yeah, I see that. I'm looking at mine. mine starts off in Revelation 20. It says, Satan bound 1,000 years,
yes,
is where it starts. And then it says, the saints reign with Christ 1,000 years. Satanic rebellion crushed.
Yes.
Says.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
What a wonderful thought.
Satanic rebellion crushed. And, you know, just before we turn these mics on here, we were talking about how everybody, it seems, in this world today wants to make excuses for living in sin.
Yes.
And when this satanic rebellion is crushed, that's not even going to be a thing anymore.
It's not going to be a problem.
Never again. Never again. Crushed. You know, go ahead.
Because people are going to desire in their hearts to be obedient to God.
Yes. It'll be, and that's why he gives us a new heart,
yes,
doesn't it? So I think about being crushed. It takes me all the way back to Genesis because it talks in Genesis 3:15 that I will put enmity, he was talking to the serpent, between your seed and her seed.
Mm-hmm.
And in my translation, the New King James that I use, it says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Some translations say he, speaking of Jesus, shall crush your head,
yeah,
and you shall bruise his heel. And crush really is what that should say, because that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read this here in Revelation, in that little heading that says, Satanic Rebellion Crushed,
yes,
it's the fulfillment of that prophecy in Genesis chapter 3. So that was a nice brief summary of chapter 20. I couldn't sum it up any better. So why don't we begin here in chapter 21? How far do you want to read, Ed?
First 8 verses.
Okay.
So this is the extremely wonderful revelation of what God is preparing for his people.
Mm.
Those that want to be with God, that love God and his son, Jesus Christ, that understand that God's way is the best way for their life. Verse 1 says, this is the modern King James, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying out, nor will there be any more pain, for the first things pass away. And he sitting on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who thirsts, I will give of the water, of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
There's a lot to unpack here, Ed. There's a lot. I'd like to start right here in Revelation, in the first verse of Revelation 21, where you read, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So this idea of a new earth is not something that's new to the Christian world, although many Christians don't talk about the new earth.
Well, Isaiah talks about it.
It surely does. Do you have a text in Isaiah you can take us to?
I don't, but I just know he talks about Isaiah 66 maybe?
Yes, absolutely. In the last couple of chapters of Isaiah, it talks about that. What came to my mind was Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 5. And sometimes we overlook these things. We don't think about it. Where it says in verse 5, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Uh-huh.
That's what it says. So he's not talking about this world.
Right.
He's talking about the new earth. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches us how to pray, he prays, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so many times as Christians, we don't put it into that perspective. We think of heaven, but we don't think of the new earth.
I think of Hebrews chapter 11.
Oh, yeah, great chapter.
It's the faith chapter. It talks about some of the Old Testament characters and how their faith, the faith of Abraham. Let me read starting with verse 13. These, talking about all the people mentioned before in that chapter about their faith, whether it's Abel, Abraham, Sarah, it says that these all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Wherefore they who say such things declare plainly they seek a fatherland. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they stretch forth to a better fatherland, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Mm.
We just read about that city.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
The holy city that's going to descend from heaven.
Yes.
Right? So, was there another thought?
No.
So, I also think, you know, this isn't just a New Testament idea.
No.
Like you mentioned, it's in Isaiah, the last few chapters of Isaiah, but also in the Psalms, in Psalm 37. Here's what it says. It says, I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, Rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And verse 9 says, For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth, it says. And then verse 11 says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So this is talking about the new earth. In fact, in verse 29 of Psalm 37, "The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever." That's what it says.
Yeah. Isaiah 65.
Okay.
The first 18 verses talk about judgment and salvation, or first 16. Verse 17 says this of Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the things before will not be remembered nor come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy."
Hmm. Wow. So this is throughout the Bible.
This is talking about the New Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that New Jerusalem as we go through chapter 21.
Right.
And it'll come into clarity. So here's the thing, Ed. We started off, we had talked about in Genesis, when we were doing the review, in Genesis chapter 3, God makes a promise.
Right.
Because, let's face it, when he created this earth, he created it to be inhabited by man,
mm-hmm.
by righteous men and women, not by unrighteous people.
Right.
And so Adam and Eve made a choice, and they chose sin instead of life.
God had given them everything that they need.
Everything.
To be successful, to be happy, to be at peace.
Yes.
And he told them this one thing, you know, don't do.
Right. We were talking about that before we started, obedience.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's all God's asking for.
Right.
If we simply obey God, we can live for eternity.
And recognize that obedience to God is for our benefit. For our well-being, for our happiness, for peace, even in this life.
Right. And I don't want to oversimplify it. When I say that if we simply obey God, we can live for eternity, people might say, but you have to have Jesus. Well, if I obey God, I have Jesus.
Yes.
I've accepted
it's having
him.
Jesus allows you to be obedient.
That's
to God.
It. And that's what
yeah.
we talked about at the
right.
close of last week. So it's fully encompassing. The gospel takes in all of Scripture.
Yes.
It doesn't isolate anything. So back to Revelation. Do you have any thoughts? We just looked at pretty much verse 1 of chapter 21.
Well, when we look at verse 2, it says, "John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven." It's going to come from heaven down to this earth, this mm-hmm. new creation. And it says here that this new Jerusalem is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Hmm.
Now, what is that talking about? Well, if we wait a little bit longer, we'll find out as we read a little bit more of Revelation.
Okay.
It will tell us clearly what that's about.
Okay.
So,
there
if you want to know.
There seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about
yes,
that.
Yes, there is a huge misunderstanding about this. But if you want to know, read ahead a little bit, and you'll
there
find
you go.
Out.
There you go. And just allow the words on the page to be expressed the way they read.
I showed this to someone once, and the response was, "That's not right. I didn't write these words on the page. I'm
right.
just reading them to you."
Right.
You know? So, anyways.
So we'll be coming back to that.
Yes, we will.
Okay. And let's see, in verse 3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God."
Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
You know, Ed, all of my life I was taught a false doctrine that I would never meet God, but this is saying that I will.
You know, when I was a little kid, I can remember going to family gatherings at my grandmother's house. I'm talking maybe 5, 6 years old. And it was so nice to be with all these aunts and uncles and cousins because you felt loved, you felt mm. belonged.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me realize you want to be with the ones who love you, who
sure.
care about you. Who has loved me or you more than God and his son, Jesus Christ?
No one.
Don't you want to be with them?
Absolutely. And I was robbed of that. I never knew until I studied the Bible I never knew that this was the case. Mm-hmm. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they separated themselves from God.
Yes.
They had a relationship with mm-hmm. God. And so what has he done?
He was with them.
Yes, he was. He came walking in the garden,
yes.
searching, seeking them, and they ran and hid
right.
because they had sinned. And so God is, for all of these years, he wants to restore that relationship.
Yes.
And that's what Revelation's all about. It's repairing the breach that has happened because of sin. And the beauty of it is God has given us that the mediation of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
which as best as it can, it repairs that breach while we're still sinners.
Think about it. You know, Jesus is the cornerstone. And Ephesians 2 talks about that we as Christians can be built on the foundation of Christ as the cornerstone and the foundation of the apostles, built into a holy sanctuary for the dwelling place of God by the Spirit.
Hmm.
We can have the Spirit of God dwelling in us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, there's a key to that, though, Ed, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I just said, because I said that he helps us while we're still sinners. He helps us to overcome the sin.
Yes.
I'm born into sin naturally because
right.
of what Adam did, but he gives me the way that I won't sin, that I can come back to him. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
And it comes back to the gospel.
Yeah, this verse 3 of Revelation 21, this idea, I hope people see the words on the page, that God will dwell with them.
Yeah, mine says God himself will be with them and
yes.
be their God.
And continue to be their God.
Right. That's right. Forever.
Yes.
And sin will never come up again.
No.
And that's hard to comprehend, but it's true.
Yeah, verse 4 is beautiful as well. God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes.
Mm.
There's a lot of tears in this world.
Right.
You know, the loss of loved ones, tears from pain, tears from broken relationships, from death, sorrow, just what the world goes through with the pain and suffering. But it says God will wipe away all these tears, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying out, and there will be no more pain.
Mm.
For the first things have passed away. These first things are the experience that we have on this earth.
Yeah,
now.
Mine says the former things.
Yeah.
So, and I think about that, Ed. If there are tears in heaven, there will be tears of joy. You ever been so happy about something? You just, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just can't contain yourself. You're just so overwhelmed with
right.
emotion. And, the tears, and that's why it defines it. There will be no more tears. There's no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain.
Mm-hmm.
Those things will be gone.
Yeah, sometimes when reading out loud in a study, the words on the page, you get kind of choked up,
mm-hmm.
get emotional because it means so much to the gospel.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think about these things. When we read these words in verse 4 in particular, because of the world we live in, it's really hard to even try to imagine a time
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
Because we're not familiar with that. All we're familiar with are these things that are on the page.
Right.
I mean, we have... Let's face it, we have joy,
mm-hmm.
we have happiness, but not without these other things always in the background, right?
Yes.
They're always there nagging us somehow. It's kind of like this. My wife and I are planning to take a little vacation with my mom and dad. Both
mm-hmm.
my mom and dad are still alive, and I'm blessed that they're with us. My wife's mom and dad at this point, at the time of doing this program, they're all still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we're taking a trip with them, and we're doing things because we recognize that if Christ doesn't come back, we're going to lose them.
All right.
And, so some of the plans that we make in our lives are because we have to deal with the sinful world. Can you imagine a world where you're not going to make plans like that? You're not going to make plans for your burial for, well, I have to have a will and testament. Mm-hmm. None of those things will be.
You know, one of my current jobs, I'm working in a local nursing home. I see a lot of people in their mid to late 80s and mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. They go through a lot.
Absolutely.
Trying to deal not only physically with what's happened to their body, but all the surrounding circumstances, because physically, if you can't do things, you need people to help you with things and mm-hmm. be able to care for you. And that will be no more.
Right. The emotion of having to deal with, well, I'm too old to drive now, yeah. or I can't pick that up anymore. Or, you know, it bothers me sometimes. He says it as a joke, but my dad says, well, you know, I used to be, when I bought stuff, I always looked at the warranty. He says, now everything I buy has a lifetime warranty.
That's funny.
That is good, isn't it? Yeah. Everything I buy says has a lifetime warranty. And, you know, I've heard people say, this is my last car.
Yeah.
You know, we won't be making, that won't be the way it, in right. the new world. We will live forever. You know, we won't be making plans for those things. It's going to be so foreign to us.
You know, I think that, like you said, we can't imagine what it's going to be like. Not only the lack of the sin aspect and the pain and the sorrow, but there'll be so many things to do that we have no knowledge of.
It's so true. Years ago, I gave a sermon years and years ago when I was a part of another church. I gave a sermon and I talked about what will we do with eternity? Mm-hmm. Because so many people say, well, I'm going to be bored. And I get that even now. I don't want to live forever because it will be boring. Ed, I've never been bored a day in my life. And so I just took something like an apple. You know, you hear this saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Right.
And if you just said, well, I'm just going to study apples. I want to learn what the varieties of apples are, what they taste like, how they grow, the type of soil they grow best in, things like that. And if you just took an apple a day, just in the United States, there are over 400 different varieties of apples. Mm-hmm. You just took care of over a year.
Imagine the tree of life.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think about that. Yeah. I wonder what kind of fruit that was.
Yeah.
Everybody assumes it was an apple, but it doesn't say.
You know, this same conversation you're talking about, I remember we were talking about the same subject at some point on a Zoom study, and one of the guys said, well, I want to talk to Noah. I want to know what was happening back then. Mm. I want to know what his experience was with God and that flood, being 40 days and 40 nights on the ark. And there's so many people you can talk to about their experience.
The faith chapter you just took us to, there are dozens of people right there.
Right.
And, you know, the life experience they had is just
going to imagine the line. That's talk right. to Noah.
Well, you know what? I'll get to him in a couple of hundred years. Remember, we're going to have eternity.
Yeah.
I don't know that we think that way.
Right.
What's the hurry? You know?
Yes.
What's the hurry? Thought,
you know, that's so true. Trying to slow down in this life.
Yeah.
Because some people are so busy, have to get this done. I only have this time to do it. Mm. You know? Yeah.
It's just, and friends, this isn't a fantasy. This is something, this is very real. And I hope that you can get that into your mind's eye and recognize that Christ came to give us eternity. Eternity. Without sin.
You know, in verse 5, it says, I make all things new.
Mm.
These words are true and faithful.
Amen.
You know, it's going to be a new way of living. It's going to be a new experience. It's going to be wonderful. You know, in verse 6, it says, to him who thirsts, I will give the fountain of water of life freely. You know, Jesus talks in John 4:14 about giving him water, this woman at the well, giving them a drink of water. Those that thirst shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Yes.
You know, those who thirst after righteousness, thirsting after God and His righteousness, His way of living. There's nothing better than that.
Amen.
You know, Jesus talks about this water of life, the Spirit of God, you know, dwelling in us.
Right.
Through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, and He says, to him who thirsts, I will give to the fountain of water of life freely. He who overcomes.
This is important.
He who overcomes will inherit all things. What does it mean to overcome?
It means that I have to put the sins away, in other words. I have to stop sinning. And you say, well, that's impossible. I hear people say that. There's no way I can do that. Well, you know what? You're right. If you're trying to do it yourself.
Right. Jesus says that whoever is involved in sin is a slave or a servant of sin. But the Son of God has come to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
Amen.
Jesus says, I have overcome the world.
Friends, we can't talk about this enough because so many people are under the impression in this world, and many Christian churches tell us, and wrongfully, that you can keep doing these things and be in the kingdom of God. Right here, we're reading it again. It's telling us you have to overcome those things.
So many churches teach it's impossible to
right.
do that.
That's what they say.
I had a conversation with some people I'm studying with this last weekend. They say it's impossible.
But what does the Bible say about that? Does the Bible say it's impossible?
The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13.
Amen. Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect.
Yeah.
Now, He wouldn't suggest to us or tell us that if it wasn't possible. It's not possible in myself, but because of what Christ can do in me, it makes it possible.
Let's look at that to see what He's talking about
okay.
there.
Okay. Do you have that?
Let's go to Matthew chapter 5.
All right. This is back in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. I want to read verses 43 through 48.
Okay.
Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun, the sunshine, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He's saying, be like your Father in heaven. He loves the good and the evil. He treats them by sending rain and the sun to have the benefit of those things to the just and unjust.
Right.
So you should do the sum. You become a son of your Father in heaven by doing the things that He does.
Absolutely.
Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's talking, have the character of your Father in heaven. Have the character of God. Have the character of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And how do I get that?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Colossians.
Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
And really, look at how that started, Ed, because this is exactly what we were talking about. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The Bible never tells us to do that.
No.
But He says, you've heard that it was said. Mm-hmm. So many of us have heard that it was said that, well, I can keep doing these things and Jesus will save me. No, that's not what it says.
You know, Mark, I used to listen to a radio program years ago. When my kids were little, I would make things for them, like bookcases and desks. So I'd be out in my little shop in the garage in the house I was in at the time, and I would listen to the radio as I was working out there. And there was a radio program that was oriented more to young people. And time after time after time, people would come on, "Oh, I've been saved, but I'm living with my boyfriend, and I'm having this problem, and da-da-da, but I'm saved."
Right.
That's a message from Satan.
My question would be, are you? Are you saved?
Someone is being severely deceived by saying that.
They are. In fact, what did we just read in Revelation chapter 21? It says, I'm going to read verse 8. Actually, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8.
Okay.
Because it says, he who overcomes, that's
overcomes
very important.
Sin.
Right.
Yes.
It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
We're just talking about being a son of God.
That's it. So if I'm going to be a son of God, I have to overcome my natural tendencies,
right?
And then it continues, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Right.
It's making it clear. We cannot, I've said this so many times, Jesus did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins.
Right. I want to talk about something you said. You said it's our nature that we have this in. You know, we weren't created with that nature.
No, we weren't.
Adam and Eve chose that nature, and we're stuck with their choice. But God has provided a way out through his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You can't blame Adam and Eve.
No.
Because myself and everybody else living have made the same choice that they made, to be disobedient of God. But there's power to overcome through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And this is the gospel that you're talking about.
Another thing I want to point out, Mark, you didn't write these things, nor did I write these things. Mm. We're simply reading the words on the page.
That's it. That's all we can do. I mean, I know why you're saying that, because so many times people say, well, that's your doctrine or that's what you believe. It's just what this is saying.
All we're doing is reading the Bible.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, these words are powerful. And if you just simply open it and just accept what it says, and I think the key is recognizing that I am a sinner.
Yes.
I have to recognize that.
I've got a problem.
Yes.
It's not a good problem. It's can be devastating when you finally realize, oh, man, I don't want to be like that.
Mm.
That's embarrassing. I feel so guilty.
Yeah.
But you need to realize at that point that God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus Christ spent time on this earth in the flesh, experienced everything that we experienced. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. And now he can live within your heart to help you overcome these things, to experience a changed life, a new creation, a transformation, all these words that the Bible uses that tell us that we can be a different person on this earth if we so desire, by the grace of God, by the presence of his Son in our lives.
We have to be changed by Christ. You know, I don't think it was here on the program. We've talked about this before. Sometimes things bleed together from our other studies. But we were talking, I think it was in Sabbath school, we were talking about being transformed.
Yes.
And the comment was made that, you know, there is one in the Bible who transforms himself into an angel of light.
Right.
And we know that's the devil.
Right.
But if we try to transform ourselves, we're in big trouble.
It's like putting fig leaves to covering our nakedness.
Yeah, like Adam and Eve did, right? That's what you're talking about. So I can't transform myself. I can try to make better choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, think about what you're going to do before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot overcome without Christ. It's impossible.
Right.
I cannot overcome. I can try to make better decisions, better choices, and usually that comes from knowing Christ.
You know, you may be able to do that on your own power for a while.
That's true.
But eventually, it's my temporary. Own experience, just my own testimony, eventually I give in to those temptations, those things that I think will make me happy, and not realizing I've been deceived in thinking that way.
So, you know, let's talk about this just for a minute, Ed. So how do you get to the point to where you say, okay, I recognize there's a problem here. I want to make this change. I want to allow Christ into my heart. How do I get there? I mean, I know the people are asking this question often. How do I develop that relationship with God and His Son? How do I get to the point to where, yeah, I want to do what's right, but I just don't know what to do?
I think it starts by just simply talking to God.
Okay.
Saying, you know, Father, I have this problem. I need help with it. Father, I want forgiveness. Mm. I want cleansing. And the Bible says I can get that because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. So I claim that promise. Mm. I desire that for my life. And Father, I need help to overcome these things in my life. And the Bible says Jesus overcame the world. You know, send the Spirit of your Son into my heart to help me overcome the things in my life.
Yeah. In other words, you're saying we need to go to God in prayer.
Yes.
Sometimes there are people that I know. I know a man. He was a good friend of mine, and I haven't seen him in years, but he was on the cusp of committing suicide, and he got on his knees, and he said, I didn't even know if God existed. But I said, God, if you exist, please help me. Help me to know that you're here. And he got a knock on the door. And while I may not agree with the message, I believe that God sent those people to spare that man's life.
Yeah.
And God showed him. He believes in God. He believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He believes that Jesus has saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that too. You know, God can use a Babylonian king to give a message.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he can surely use any church or denomination to plant the seed to get people to know and recognize that there is a God in heaven.
Yes.
But, you know, claiming that promise that you said, saying that prayer, go ahead.
Also, you know, spend some time in the Bible. Mm. There are wonderful, beautiful promises in God's Word. You just have to take the time to read the words on the page. Don't try to rush through reading the Bible, think you're going to gain something from it. Just read the accounts in the Gospels. Read the writings of Paul. There's so many promises about the faithfulness of God and how we can be transformed, how we can be changed to the power of a living Christ. And so it's an experience. It's not like flipping on a light switch and all of a sudden everything's different.
Right.
It's a transformation. It takes a time. It's building a relationship with God and His Son.
And the key is, back to that word, transformation. It's God working on us in our hearts,
yes,
through His Son, Jesus Christ.
That's one of the promises. He promised to give us a new heart.
Right. And keep in mind that you do play a part in it, the decisions that you make.
Right.
Once you know these things, make a conscious effort to make better choices in your life.
You have to decide whether or not you agree with what God is wanting you to do.
Yeah.
You have to trust Him. It takes faith at some point to do the right thing versus the thing that you may be tempted to do, or all your friends want you to do, or this person you're in a relationship wants you to do.
Right. And friends, we're not saying it's easy.
No, it's difficult.
It's extremely difficult. You might read through this and you might, maybe you are living with someone and you love that person very much and you come to realize, well, I can't continue to live with this person if I'm not married to them legally by the state or the requirement of the government. Because remember, if we're we must obey the governmental authorities so long as it's not breaking God's law.
Right.
So if the government says for you to be considered married, you have to have this certificate, make it right. And it might be a difficult decision. You might not want to. Or you might say, well, that person doesn't want to marry me. What do you do?
You have to make a choice.
You have to make a choice.
Who are you going to obey?
And you know, Ed, we've done this maybe only a couple of times in the years we've been doing this program, but who knows who listens? We don't know who listens to this program. Somebody might be in the middle of trying to make a decision. Do I want to worship God? Or, you know, what do I do with my life? Or do I believe these things? How do I claim the promise? Can we just pray for those people right now? Would you mind having a prayer for them?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the empowerment that you give us to live a changed life. Father, there's many people that are considering these things, that may want these things in their heart. Father, reveal yourself to them through your Son, Jesus Christ. Give them power to overcome in their lives. Send the Spirit of Christ in their hearts, crying, Abba, Father. May you give them understanding of your word. May you reveal the promises of your word to them. May you reveal their love to them. And Father, direct and guide their lives that they can see you and put their trust in you. Father, give them the opportunity to make this choice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Ed. I don't know why. I just felt that we should do something like that at that moment. And, you know, friends, we're looking in the book of Revelation. This book is an end time book. I personally believe that these things are getting very close to happening.
Right.
I believe Jesus is coming soon based on all of the things that we've looked at in the past weeks.
Yeah.
And here we have this decision. He's saying, be an overcomer, because if you don't, I can have nothing to do with you.
Right.
And so make a decision. Don't put it off.
There's a simple, small verse in the Bible. I don't remember exactly where it is. It's one of the minor prophets. It says that two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement.
Right.
Unless you're in agreement with God, you're not going to be able to walk with Him. The Bible talks about walking with God, how the characters of the Old Testament walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. What does that mean? It means that they keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgment. They love God. They realize His way of doing things for their life is the best. So they walk with God.
Yeah.
That's why Enoch was taken by God, because he walked with Him.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the faith chapter.
Yeah.
There's just a few things in here that are just so, Hebrews chapter 11, and it mentions Enoch right here in this chapter, which you just talked about, Ed. But this is beautiful. Now, faith, this is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
It's important to understand what that says, because faith is believing the promises of God's word, believing in salvation through the Son of God, believing that Jesus Christ can dwell in you and help you overcome without any visual evidence that that can happen.
Yeah. And it can be difficult.
Yes.
And the only way that you can do that is by reading God's word.
Right.
By praying about it, like you said.
Yeah.
Pray about these things. Ask God to help you to understand. And we're not talking about This isn't talking about blind faith.
No.
You know, we can have...
It's not like I'm going to jump off a cliff and God's going to save me.
Right. Yes, Satan tried to get Jesus to do that.
Yeah.
And Jesus rebuked him.
Yeah.
You know? To me, when I think about this, we can have faith in a person. You can say, well, I know that person said, I'm going to see you at such and such a time. And because you've had experience with them... Mm-hmm. You trust that that's true.
Right.
And so how can I trust God if I don't have any experience with Him?
You have to take the first step.
We do. We have to just put it out there. And I can't state this enough, friends. If you don't believe, pray for belief. Ask God for faith. Ask him to help you in your unbelief.
Ask God to reveal himself to you.
Yeah. And hey, let me say this. Sometimes you might have to pay attention to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's smacking us right in the face and we don't even know it. It's so true. It's so true. I have an experience.
What I said a couple of weeks ago, I said, Father, whatever you're trying to teach me, help me to learn it quickly.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah, yeah, you had that prayer, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I don't know if, I don't think I've shared this here, but I had a friend, a guy that I knew, and he's just sharp as a tack, and I always wanted the opportunity to witness to him, but I didn't want to force it,
right.
You know, because sometimes we have a tendency, we want to speak to somebody about the gospel, and if you try to fit that square peg into a round hole, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me one day and he says, and I just talked to my wife. I says, man, I'd love to be able to witness to this guy. I'd just like to get the opportunity. The very next day he comes to my shop. This was 20 some years ago. And he says, hey, you want to go to lunch? And I says, oh man, I don't have time. I'm right in the middle of something, you know? And he hung around and we chatted for a few minutes and I kept working. He says, hey, look, just drop what you're doing. Let's just go to lunch for about an hour. And I said, I really can't leave. And I just kept going and kept going. And the third time he said, the time we've taken talking, we could have went to lunch. And I said, you know what? You're right. Let's go to lunch. And we went. And that turned a conversation in somebody who was an atheist. They did not believe in God. But taking the time, you see, he was persistent. And I think that's because God put it in his heart.
Yeah.
He didn't know why he wanted to go. He just wanted to go to lunch. It wasn't to talk about the Bible. But it turned into a Bible discussion. It was about the time that remember the Hale-Bopp comet that mm-hmm. came around?
Yeah.
And he knew, he had a picture of it that he had taken in a local, observatory.
Yeah.
Out in, you know where it is, it's out there near, I forget the name of the town, it's only about 20 minutes from here. And it was beautiful. And I just simply asked him the question when he showed it to me. He was telling me all about it. They know exactly when this thing's going to be around again and this and mm-hmm. that. And I said, well, let me ask you, do you believe that that just happened by chance? Or do you believe that that was put there by an intelligent creator? And he didn't give me a quick answer. He paused and he says, I would have to say it happened by chance. That's what he said. And it kind of surprised me. And I said, go ahead.
I was thinking, how many chances does this thing get?
That's the thing. You know, I mean, he was telling me how precise it is, and it just happened.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, what makes you say that? And the answer that he gave me really struck me. When I look around the world and I see all of the things that are going on, and it seems like the people who are not doing right have all the good stuff, and the people who are trying to do right are struggling and trying to make ends meet, and babies are dying, and he just went on. And he says, how could a creator be? How could that be? But Ed, you answered that question last week.
People have that question a lot. Sometimes I think it's an honest question.
Yeah, I think in his mind it was.
Sometimes I think it's an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, if God is such love, why are all these things happening in the world? There's two answers I have. One is, the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Mm.
What more could he give?
Right.
The other answer is that you're asking the wrong question. Why don't you ask the question, do you love God? Because the Bible says if you love God, you keep his commandments, and they're not burdensome. If everybody in the world would keep God's commandments, none of this would exist. None of these wars, none of this stuff would exist.
Ed, that is so powerful, and I wish I had had that specific answer. I wish I could have rolled those words off of my tongue at that time. But you see, I didn't know what the commandments were at that time.
Yeah.
I knew what they were, but I didn't know how God expected us to keep them. So God has used that man in my life to help me to learn things. And as a result of that conversation, and I just said to him, let's just take some time to go through some Bible texts and see what your thoughts are. He now believes. He believes there's a creator. He believes God has a son. And so, like I said, sometimes God will be speaking to us, trying to get us to do something, and we just don't see the obvious. And God used that opportunity. So when you pray and you come to God and you say, help me to have more faith, pay attention. Listen to what's going on around you and see if he's not communicating with you somehow. I think that's really important. And that answer, friends, I hope you heard that. If we loved God and we did what he said,
life would be totally different for the whole world.
It would be completely different.
And it will be different in your life, too.
And that's what we were just talking about in Revelation. So we only covered seven verses, but it talks about this new heavens and new earth. I thought it deserves some thought.
Yes.
We can have a taste of that now in the way that we treat people and the way that we're treated. You know, we can have a part of God's kingdom. We can have the kingdom in our heart.
Yes.
And it changes our whole perspective and our outlook on life.
It's not like you're not going to experience any difficulties in life. You know, that's fallacy. We all experience life as it is, the sinful world that we live in. But God can help you through those things.
Amen.
He can provide for you. And he will do that. He's done it in my life.
He's done it in my life. What a difference it makes. And I think that's, you gave a sermon one time, Ed, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference in the world.
Right.
It really does. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal death. That's the difference.
Yes.
That's the difference. So I can't believe we're out of time. That time went so quick. We'll pick up again here in Revelation chapter 21.
Remember verse 2 of Revelation 21, this new Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Who is that husband? We're going to talk about it next week. Read ahead and you'll find out.
Okay, very good. So now next week I'm going to be away.
All right.
But it'll be 2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll get back to this. So friends, we need to close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. And Father, we just ask that people will consider these things, that they will consider opening your word and coming to know you. And Father, we just ask that you will open the hearts and minds of people that they can know you and your Son and live according to your will. So please be with us until we come together again. We ask for your blessing to be upon each and every one who is listening. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much. I look forward to being back together again. And friends, we hope to see you in 2 weeks. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.